Well, here we are then.
We sure are.
You join us in a Mexican restaurant in Brewer Street, London.
Yes.
Where we're together again.
Oh, it's been so long.
The boys are back in town.
They
sure Thin Lizzy wrote so beautifully.
And what a lot has happened since we last met.
Yeah.
I know.
New election, new political leaders.
Exactly. New MP for mid-faith crisis.
It's there. Yeah. Okay. All kinds of things have happened. And we're here together because we're going to go out to the theatre, aren't we?
We are.
Now, you've assured me that this is a very wholesome family show.
Wholesome family show, and it's a very much belated birthday present to you for your 60th, which was about 15 years ago.
Funnily enough, a bloke did get up on the tube train and offer me his seat.
This
is the first time it's happened. I'm going to milk it, frankly. I am going to milk it. So this is a wholesome family show we're going to see, a musical. What's it called?
Book of Mormon.
Great, looking forward to it.
Ooh, here come our nachos.
Welcome everybody to episode 292, it says here. I have no idea if that's right or wrong. I'm trusting my co-host to have added one to the previous one. Okay. 292 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name's Nick Page and there he is, Joe Davis.
Hello, it's great to be back. 3 weeks off, three full weeks. Yeah, tremendous. It's great to be back though. I've missed you. It's lovely to see you. It was good to see you last Saturday as well. What fun we had.
Yes, we'll talk about that. But we did have a big break, didn't we? Because, I mean, you didn't text, you didn't call, you didn't write, you just...
I sent you the odd picture.
Some very odd pictures, yes. But, you know, generally, we didn't talk to each other.
It was a bit weird, wasn't it? It was a break.
It was a trial separation, really, wasn't it? I felt.
Anyway, so much to catch up on, so we better get
on. We have got a lot, yeah. So, church notices, then. There we go.
Okay, well, two, I think, really. First, let's start with the deliberate omission. We've totally missed our Christmas special.
That's true.
Yeah. How could we have done that? It's the 25th of June.
Well, you were away. You were off doing stuff.
I know.
So we'll try and rectify that in future episodes. We'll do a Christmas special.
Yeah, I hate being away at Christmas. I like Christmas at home, really. So it's, yeah, sorry about that. Anyway, and the other really important news is the fabulous Andy is carrying out some research looking at how podcasting is becoming a significant resource for those who are going through some sort of faith shift in their lives. And he's interested in how people use podcasts as a form of spiritual practice, how a sense of community might form from them, and about how experiences of listening compare with experiences of church. So in order to get an accurate picture, I should say he's doing a PhD on this, of what's happening in the UK right now, he's hoping to be able to speak to listeners of various British podcasts to hear their voices. And of course, he came to us claiming he was in fact a listener. So that's put him in my good books immediately. So we need to ask our beautiful community a favour, which is to fill in a quick survey for him. And I don't think it'll take long. It really isn't a long document. It's just a few minutes. But I've put a link up on our Facebook page. I think you're going to put a link in the show notes this time.
Sure, yeah.
And it would be really helpful to Randy if you would be able to. You're helping a man with a PhD here. And it's I think it's a really significant area to discover in terms of understanding where the church is at in 2024 in this country. So if you would like to help Andy and us, please do fill out that survey.
Yeah, it is interesting. We'll be talking about it a little later in the show, I think, because while you were away, he interviewed me.
Yes.
About the podcast. I think he's already interviewed you.
He has indeed.
So I was able to presumably correct a few things.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. So, but it was interesting. It was fascinating talking to him about it, actually. And
yeah.
So I'd like to reflect on that a little bit later. Talking of which, that's really what we're going to be doing in this episode. We're sort of just getting back together, really, aren't we? Sharing what's happened,
yes, exactly.
Reflecting on a few things, seeing where we are, maybe catch up on our themes,
yes,
about how those are going. it's more sort of settling back into the old, the tatty old armchair, yes, of this podcast, really.
It's exactly what it is. And also an invitation to all to let us know what you're doing as well. We value this community so much. So, yeah.
So here we go on the massive how are you? How are you?
Oh, well, you know what? I am refreshed. I am good. I'm exceptionally overweight. Mm-hmm. And reasonably glad to be alive. I think in terms of holidays, a holiday did what a holiday should. You come back refreshed. It's hard to crank it back up again a bit, but yeah, no, I was really ready for that and it was lovely. But of course, the really significant thing, I suppose, is I've been married for 40 years to the same woman, to the wonderful Rachel Davis. And I think I got her the present that everyone expected me to get her for a 40th, which is, of course, a medal. Every year when I say it's my wedding anniversary, most people say Rachel deserves a medal. So I thought this is the year if ever she was going to get one. To actually receive one, and she does wear it, I'm glad to say. So
that's fantastic.
That's rather lovely.
Sort of long service.
Long service medal.
Or courage under fire.
There's so many things. It just said, well done, you've been married to Joe for 40 years.
That's lovely.
I think that's the sentiment people were really getting at.
So what was the highlights of some of the holiday? You know, some of the highlights. What did you see? What did you experience? What did you enjoy?
I mean, so we had 3 weeks off, which is extraordinary. We had a week in the Peak District. Beautiful, standing on Kerber's Edge. I mean, it's just fantastic. The view from there, the jagged rock.
Did he not mind?
Kerber didn't mind at all. He loved it. Oh, he positively encouraged it. So that was great. And we were with the kids and we'd hired this place and it was lovely. So that was nice. Then we went with friends to Wales where we did boogie boarding, Pembrokeshire. Very nice. I think I understand the country was having a heat wave and there we were in jumpers because we were in Wales.
I don't recall a heat wave while you were
Oh,
away.
Yes. I mean, people were melting.
Odd, hot day. There'd been the odd hot day.
People were melting in Worthing. Oh, they were. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Anyway, it was lovely. It was just lovely. I mean, in terms of the brief, which was to connect to nature. And then we went to the Forest of Dean. I think my favourite place. I love the forest. I mean, I love the sea and I love the forest. And I did actually put a picture up on our Facebook page of the massive stained glass window on the sculpture trail around Forest of Dean. It's just extraordinary. You just stand there in awe, really. You've got the beauty of the sort of cathedral of trees all around you. And then this lovely stained glass window. And we actually saw one red crossbill, just the one.
Wow.
Which was very exciting, if you're me. And just lots of nature and birds and butterflies and things that I tend to get excited about. Mm. And a lovely time with friends and family.
Great.
Which was great. So thank you. It was a great holiday. So look, well, I'm not going to go through my list of how are you? What's rocking your world? You haven't had a holiday.
No, I haven't. And I need a holiday.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, I'm going away for a few days on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm taking my mother and my stepfather down to
I was going to say, you didn't fill in the holiday form. You didn't run that past me. I mean, I know it's only 3 days, but there are procedures here.
Yeah, but as I said, I'm taking my mother away. I love my mother a lot, but I'm not sure that qualifies as a holiday, if I'm honest. So, you know, we hope to get through that. So I do feel I need a holiday.
Yeah, sure.
Actually, I'm pretty tired. I've been working hard on some things. Now, two things that you'd like. One, I've discovered a really good bread recipe.
Oh.
Now, this is the no-knead bread recipe, as in no kneed.
Yes, got you.
You don't kneed it at all.
Okay.
And you sort of, you make up this dough very simply, just mix it together, make it up, leave it overnight. And that's the thing, you leave it a long time to prove. You leave it overnight and then the next morning you tip it out, shape it. And you cook it in a casserole. That's the key thing. What our colonial friends, I believe, call a Dutch oven.
Okay.
And that gives it a lot of the heat. And it really, it's really good.
Is it?
It's really good. Yeah. So I recommend. I'll put a link up to a very good recipe.
Okay. I do that. Thank you.
So that was joyous. I've also discovered a scroppino. Now, have you had or do you know of a scroppino?
No, I haven't. But it sounds like some dangerous Eastern European drink.
It's a dangerous Italian drink.
Oh, okay.
To be okay. Fair. I don't think I'm pronouncing it very well. Scroppino. Scroppino al limone is the correct thing. And it's a cocktail, essentially.
Okay.
But it's like a cocktail smoothie or a cocktail. What's the ice slushy?
Okay. Yeah, it's like that. Yeah.
So okay. you get a bit of vodka, and a big scoop of lemon sorbet.
Yeah.
Blitz it together.
Yeah.
Add Prosecco.
Sounds like limoncello.
And you can add limoncello if you want for that extra lemony thing. Oh, man, it's good.
That sounds great.
It's really good to sip on the two hot days that we get nowadays this summer.
Yeah. You know,
because we seem to have any more of that.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying England. I don't want to be parochial here at all, because I'm sure if I was in Wales, I would enjoy that, or Scotland, or Ireland, or whatever.
Well, you are a quintessentially English gentleman, Nick. So
I am a
this
bit.
Is not surprising me.
But England is beautiful at the moment.
Yeah, it is.
Where I am. It's
I agree.
Absolutely lovely. Yeah. The chalk hills around me are just stunning. And I went to a lovely old church on the other day.
Oh, dear.
Called St. John's, I think it's called, at Inglesham. I said, oh, it's amazing. It's right by the Thames. You'd love it.
Well, I'd love the river.
Well, you see, this is the... You go in the church, which is cared for by the Church's Conservation Trust, I believe it's closed. And it's amazing old church, the inside. And so, you walk through this really raised graveyard and you walk into this church. It's got amazing box pews. It's got amazing carvings. It's fantastic. It's got everything you want. And then you can go and sit by the river. And who knows? You could have a scroppino as well, maybe. I don't know.
What I love about graveyards is they are like havens for nature and wildlife, aren't they? They're just fantastic. So.
Oh, yeah. So the swallows were flying around everything. Yeah, yeah. It was beautiful.
One of the birds I've been enjoying a lot in all these various is tree creepers. I love tree creepers. They're just such exquisite little birds, and graveyards are good places to see those as well.
Now, tree creepers, which direction do they go? Up or down? Or is that a myth?
I think it's a myth. So the idea is that the tree creepers go up and nuthatches come down. I think that's the way round. But I've seen both doing both, so I don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, presumably they've got to come down at some
point.
Exactly.
You would have thought
up,
so. Yeah, exactly.
What do they do? Just go up and fall off at the top? That's no good.
I made an interesting discovery about cheese.
Oh, okay.
It turns out that if you eat cheese every day just before bedtime, you will put on about half a stone in weight at the end of 3 weeks.
No, I know.
Who knew?
I don't know. I'm sure the scroppino is no good for you either, really, in terms of that.
I know. I don't need more alcohol to get into. In fact, I'm being very good now.
What else has been happening? You've been to see some shows, haven't you? You've been to see some.
I have seen some stuff. I saw, last week was a extraordinary. I went to see the fabulous Harry Baker, who was just tremendous. I tell you what, he is getting better and better. And he's just brought out a new book of poetry. I think it's probably his best yet. I really do. So that's called Wonderful, in fact. And he's I think he is getting more high profile. I think because James Corden's been tweeting him, I think, and stuff like that. So he's getting a lot of coverage now. So it's packed out in Worthing Pavilion. I mean, literally more than twice as many people as normal and no, you know, sold out. This'll get you. I went to see Shakespeare. Not a fan of Shakespeare, as you know. But it was A Midsummer Night's Dream, so it was kind of funny. Comedy could just about follow it. But the deal was, it was in Highdown Gardens by us. It was just in this woodland and flowers all around. And so the setting was beautiful. And, you kind of took your own picnic dinner along with you and sat there and ate and watched Shakespeare. Although I have to admit, I'm a bit of a lightweight when it comes to picnic. And I was getting serious picnic envy because we were there with picnic professionals. I mean, they're people with you know, with tables and tablecloths. Yeah,
candelabra.
Yeah, kind of seven-course tasting menu and various, and a wine course and all that sort of thing. And, you know, we took, you know, a bit of mint tea and sandwich kind of thing. It was useless. Yeah, absolutely useless.
Well, I mean, that's obviously the trick with you, isn't it? It's like you know, with kids, you have to take something to entertain them. I think if I took you somewhere, presumably if I just took sort of a lump of earth or something and just said, there you go, look at that while I'm doing this. Oh,
yeah, marvellous, yeah.
You sit there and look at all the wildlife in there while Daddy does something important.
Exactly. Well,
yeah.
Thank you. Also, I saw the Wilding film, which, as most of you will know, is the film about Nep, which has been in cinemas and it's had wide release, but... that was fantastic. It's so well shot. Incredible photography. And it's sort of nice because they film it as a documentary, but also sort of, I guess they obviously use actors for the older scenes of back in the 80s. Really well done. And then I went up to Nep and did a walk and saw a purple hairstreak butterfly.
Oh, okay.
A purple hairstreak. Yeah, it's not hair. It is, in fact, a butterfly.
It's a sort of punk butterfly,
it's exactly what it is. It's a punk butterfly.
Thank you. That was the obligatory Nep mention, obviously, that we have to have now for contractual reasons. Although I've yet to see any sponsorship money from them. What else? I've had some interesting things. Hmm. I was at a thing yesterday where we were talking about value. It was a workshop on your value. It was very good. It's looking at, you know, what value you bring, what skills you have, and all this kind of stuff. Obviously, I love talking about that with me, you know, because I am so immensely valuable. Actually, you know, a lot of that I've done, and we talk about it on the podcast a lot, don't we? Trying to recognise your value, your own worth, rather than your own worminess. But I think one of the interesting things was the woman leading it said, you know, your inner critic, you know, what is the character of your inner critic? The voice that tells you bad stuff about yourself. So mine is always telling me you don't know. You don't really know this stuff. You're not a professional. You don't. You're an imposter. You don't really know all this stuff. You've just read it in a book quickly. You know, you're not an expert. There are real experts out there. They know this stuff. You don't know this stuff. Mm. Shut up. You know, that kind of stuff. And so she said, you know, think about that voice and give it a name.
Oh, really?
And hers, she said, was called Geraldine, which is sort of rather, which she saw as one of those girls who in the gang that she was never going to be part of that. She was never going to be part of that gang. And so I've decided to call my inner critic the professor.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Because the professor is always telling me off. He's always telling me I don't really understand it. I don't know.
I like it.
And then she said, and the best thing is when that happens, you sort of thank that person for their comments and then you move on.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So you hear them, you go, oh, thank you, Professor. Here you are. You're here now. I've heard you. That's very good. You're reminding me to pay attention and to learn everything that I can. That's good. Now I'm going to, now I don't need to listen to you anymore. I'm going to move on.
Brilliant.
And I found that so helpful.
That's great.
I really did.
I've heard of a similar technique. Yeah, that's really good. So, well, hang on. Let's just stop the podcast here. I mean, that's it. Let's all go away and name our inner critic. Oh, I like it.
You disarm them, don't you, by giving them a sort of name like that. But, I don't know what yours would be. What kinds of things would your inner critic say to you?
I don't know, because I want to say, give it a funny name, you know, or not that funny, but I think, you know, mine is always, you're not good enough to do this. Mm. You know, you shouldn't be doing this job. This is far too responsible for you. You know, you're no good at it, that kind of rubbish. So,
yeah, well, he's got a point, actually.
Thank you. Mine's called Nick.
That's very funny and quite worrying at the same time.
Thank you, Nick, for your contribution.
Oh, no.
No, I won't call it Nick. Although I am tempted.
Oh, dear. Well, I like to think I'm the grit that produces the pearl, really. That's
what. Yes. Well, you certainly are an irritant.
Thank you. The other thing I've been doing, I've been avoiding the news.
Ah, how's that going?
Well, it's actually going quite well because I read a book by a guy called Rolf de Belli. I think it's Rolf. It's either Ralph or Rolf. Anyway, he's a Swiss sort of thinker, philosopher, guru kind of thing. And he wrote a book on called, I think it's called Stop Reading the News. And he doesn't read the news at all. He doesn't listen to the news. He tries to avoid it. His thesis is that the news is actually very bad for you because most of it is not relevant to you, and it's part of the entertainment industry, and all it does is make you feel anxious and powerless.
Interesting.
And he said, if there's any real news, you'll probably hear about it.
Yes, I'm going to tell you. Yeah.
So I thought, well, it's a bit of an extreme position, but I would try not. I was aware, you know, that it's so easy, especially over the election and all that kind of stuff, you know, to go back and doom scroll or whatever, or just keep up with it. And it is about adrenaline, partly. It is about, oh, let's find out what's happening. You know, it is about that. So I deleted the bookmarks off. And honestly, I haven't been to the BBC news sites for ages. And it's quite liberating, really. It's quite fun. Yeah.
Did you know we've got a new government, by the way?
I'd heard rumours. No, I did. I mean, that night, obviously, you know, you're following it. But no, mostly it's quite nice. I'm on a bit of a news fast. And okay. I've started, you do this, because I've started reading The Week.
Oh, I love The Week.
Which is a great way of having a balanced view on what's happened without actually getting caught up in it.
No, it's excellent. Can't recommend it highly enough. Yeah, that's good. And work that into your Sabbath ritual each week.
Yeah, what also happens is that when you do listen to the news, some of it comes as a nice surprise because you think, oh, I haven't heard that before. Whereas mostly, if you're a sort of news junkie, you just hear it over and over and over again, the same stuff.
So, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, that's good. And I'm glad you've done that because I think, you know, one of the things I was saying, feeling about having a holiday and a break is you do get back that sense of how good it is to be alive. And I think anything that can enhance that, and if taking a media fast does that, then do it, frankly, because it is good to be alive. Yeah,
I'd recommend it. Yeah, it's good. Generally, I've had a pretty encouraging time, to be honest. I did a literary festival, which I talked about before.
Yes.
Met a couple of listeners. That's nice.
Good.
Hello out there. And that was encouraging. And yeah, by the way, I've been unfaithful. I've been on a couple of other podcasts.
Not another podcast. And is it a very professional one?
Well, I've been on two. One is not coming out till Christmas. So that was a bit odd. I was talking about Christmas. But the other is with Nathan Foster talking about the Badly Behaved Bible.
Oh, good.
So I will put a link to that because I think it's going to be out this week or next week. I'll put a link out as soon as it comes out. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, confession's good for the soul. So well done. Thanks for telling me.
Thank you. Now we can move on.
Well, we should move on. And we should talk about the lovely day we had together celebrating your birthday 3 years late.
Yes. Now, I do want to talk about this because we saw each other last weekend. Mm. Had a lovely day in London.
You did. Mexican food.
Mexican food and English beer. It was very good. And you took me to the theatre.
The Prince of Wales Theatre. Yes, I did.
And we went to see The Book of Mormon.
We did.
Yeah. I'm still processing the whole thing.
I knew you would be.
For those of you who don't know, it's a musical by the creators of South Park.
Yeah.
And it's a musical based around sort of the adventures or misadventures of a pair of Mormon missionaries who gets sent out to Africa.
Yeah.
How would you describe it? I mean...
It's a bit like The Lion King versus Guys and Dolls versus something very rude and offensive.
Yes.
So if you put those all together, I think you might have some kind of idea. But even then, not.
I found it simultaneously hilarious, entertaining, inventive, deeply offensive,
yes,
and unsettlingly disturbing,
yes,
all at the same time.
It does that.
To be fair, the creators and the cast, they don't just go to upset sort of followers of any faith or Christians or Mormons. They obviously are deeply offensive about Africa as well. And I admire that. I think if you're going to go that route, you've got to be offensive about everybody. If you're going to do it this satire,
I don't think they were offensive about Africa. I think they were offensive about colonialism.
Yes, they do. They do satirise the kind of Band-Aid stuff, don't they? Live Aid stuff, but their depiction of the African place that they get sent to is caricature to is in extreme, you know.
Oh yeah, sure.
But
sure.
But what was interesting about it was, okay, the questions it raises about faith, really.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And whether it's right to put yourself in a position where you are going to see things that really offend you as a Christian, you know. But actually, maybe it's a good thing to be disturbed in that way. Maybe it's a good thing to see how other people can talk about it like this.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is about what is the nature of belief, and are we just making up stories that people follow?
Yes, exactly.
And I mean, I think ultimately their message is that is the role of religion. It's to invent stories that give people hope. That's really what seems to come out. And it also is so viscerally about the complaints that people might have about God. People in dreadful life situations. And not just to an extent of Job. It's like as if Job was, you know, a late night comedian, you know.
Yeah, exactly. There's a kind of very offensive, where basically the message is, you know, F off to God. And that becomes this kind of lyrical, lovely, dancing number. Ha, 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 ha.
It's like a spoof of Hakuna Matata.
Of Hakuna Matata. And he says, does this mean, you know, no worries for the rest of our days? And the guy says, no, this is not. This is what it means. And it is like, really, you know, you basically can't get more offensive, I don't think, to a believer than that, really. And then there's a few other things, you know, we won't spoil it. Well, here's my question that I have for you coming out of it. You can understand why I really wanted to take you to see it, can't you? Because I knew you'd have all those reactions to it. But would you recommend it to other people? Would you say to people, oh, go and watch that? Or would you put a big kind of warning on it? Or would you just be careful who you said that to?
I think I've spoken to friends since who've been to see it. I think it entirely depends on the person, really. I think seeing it with you was sort of fitting in a way.
What you mean.
Yes, because it was extremely offensive and very funny and disturbing and much like our friendship. I think it was seeing it with you was great and challenging and difficult. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm still sort of processing it. Like I said, the interval came and I just turned to you and I said, what just happened? What was I just seeing? Yeah, I think the role of satire is to shake us up. To offend us, actually, offend us and make us think. You know, it's not merely offence. It's offence with a purpose. And I do think it can be valuable from that point of view.
Yeah.
But equally, there were just stuff in there I think, I don't know about this. I really don't know. I mean, heaven knows, it's not like in my books I don't, you know, do jokes and shake things up, but I wouldn't do it to the same extent they do it.
Exactly. Well, there you go. Listeners of a nervous disposition, do not go and watch the Book of Mormon. But those that can handle mild offence / deep offence.
Yes, I don't think there's anything mild about it.
It is also, I mean, laugh out loud, start crying funny. There's a song called Switch It Off. I love that song so much. Yeah. It's basically a song about, you know, if life ever gets you in trouble, just deny. Just deny.
Yes,
it is
it's
funny.
It's an absolute denial song, isn't it?
It is so well done. It is a full-on razzmatazz, but just achingly funny. So there you go. That's Basie Money Makes a Choice.
Yeah, and if you have been to see it, we'd love to hear what you thought about it. I think it's fascinating. Yeah. So there was that. Oh, now, listen, let's talk a little bit about Andy and his PhD. And,
oh, yes,
this questions about the podcast, because... I don't know how you I haven't spoken to you about your chat with him, but he interviewed me and he's doing a whole PhD about it's really about sort of the role of podcasts in helping people deconstruct their faith. That's the kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it was great, really, because I think it helped me think a lot about this podcast and where we're going and what choices we have to make, and really what terrible life choices we have made that have brought us to this point as well, and what the future is for us and where we have to go with it. But also, what it made me think about was for that word deconstruction, that whole thing, because it's become quite, in the 6 years or 7 years we've been doing this, deconstructing has become quite trendy.
It was barely heard of, I think. But, you know, and when you say 6 years, it's more than that. You do know that, don't you? But yes.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I know. It's been going on far too long. But yes, no, it sounds quite negative, doesn't it? Reconstruction sounds something that, or construction sounds very positive. Deconstruction sounds a bit like demolition and therefore not so helpful in some ways.
Well, it reminds me of those posh restaurants you go to where you get a deconstructed apple crumble, you know, and you've got the pile of crumble and the pile of apple, and you think, well, the whole point of apple crumble is to put them together. It's not to deconstruct them.
Yeah, just give us a list of ingredients.
Yeah, stop being so flipping lazy and cook it properly.
Yeah, Ramsay, what are you doing?
Yeah, so I wondered really about whether that's the right term for it, really, in terms of what we're doing. And the way I talked about it to him was the idea of journey, of you know, there is some theories of tribal sociology where they say you have to leave the tribe, you have to, when you get to a certain age, you have to leave the tribe, go out on your own. You might go back to that tribe or you might end up somewhere else, but you cannot stay in the tribe, you've got to go on a journey. So I think it's partly that.
Yeah,
I think there's a kind of thing where you have to leave and go. But also, I thought about it more like, you're not really deconstructing. I don't think I've been deconstructing. I think I've been decluttering.
Mm.
I think I've been lightening the load. I think what I've experienced with faith is just getting rid of stuff that was actually just weighing me down.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to go on the faith journey, I've got to travel light. So I found that more helpful way of thinking about it, because I think, you know, for me, the core of faith has remained the same. I'm still a follower of Jesus. I'm still going to do that. I'm still committed to the creed. I'm still committed to the Orthodox. But there's a whole lot of other stuff that I've just...
You're letting go of.
You can let go of because you don't need it. So anyway, I found that a really interesting exercise to think about.
Yeah. And I also think that along that journey, you sort of start to realise that theology doesn't have all the answers and you do have to engage with philosophy and psychology and, you know, like that conversation about the professor. You know, I don't know whether that would have meant as much to you. Your inner critic a few years ago is that, yeah, that's interesting, but it's not that important. What's really important is we please God with our lives and we do all that. And then you start to realise, oh, no, these are all part of the same thing. Part of my, if you like, drawing close to God or the divine is actually really re-examining myself and understanding myself so much more. I think that enables you to become a better follower of Jesus, doesn't it?
So. That's a really good point, I think. Mm. And perhaps that's the pilgrimage thing as well. Yeah. You know, the journey, you find yourself in that, you know, it's become rather a cliche, sort of Californian wiffle. Mm. I'm going out to find myself. Mm. You know, and people used to say that. You said, well, I know exactly where you are. You're right there. I can see you. But I think to find the value in yourself, maybe to find what your unique way of following Jesus is.
Yeah.
That is true. I think that's really important in the journey. And in fact, it starts with that, really, doesn't it? Because you sort of have that thing before setting out in mid-faith that where you do push what you want or what you are back. You know, you're part of the tribe and you're part of the group.
Yeah.
So it's not about what you want. It's about what I... But there has to come a point where... if it's sort of affecting you, or if it's not allowing you to express your faith in your unique way, then you have to go out and journey. You know,
now it's interesting, isn't it? Because that's the classic hero's journey, is there is always a coming home, changed and transformed. And I sort of feel like I'm not sure if I've come home or not, whether I've just gone. And it's an interesting thought, but I love what you're saying. You're saying that part of the journey is about shedding stuff and this podcast is about shedding. But I also think this podcast is very much the Kendall mint cake for the journey.
Really?
I think so, because as well as shedding stuff, it's finding new resources and better, nutrition for the journey, I suppose, along the way. And what could be better nutrition than a whole bunch of sugar?
I was going to say, the thing about Kendall mint cake, and for those of you who don't know it, it's a sort of mint sugar thing, isn't it? It's just a slab of sugar.
It's a slab of sugar flavoured with mint.
Flavoured with mint that used to get taken on sort of climbing expeditions back in the 20s.
Exactly.
But now no self-respecting climber would go anywhere near it because basically, you know, they'd have massive sugar rush, but you'd be climbing without any teeth.
And you'd go into a sugar coma.
Yeah, exactly. You'd actually go climbing and come back 14 stone heavier than you went. So, yeah. But anyway, well, that's it. I've not thought about the podcast as Kendall Mint Cake before. I like that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was really good to reflect on, and I will carry on thinking a bit about that in future. I suppose we should talk about politics and the football and all that. What concerned me slightly about it, leaving aside political allegiance or anything like that, is there's this sort of extreme thing, isn't there, happening?
Yeah.
That if we're dissatisfied, we're going to change everything. We're going to go to the opposite extreme. So it's not just a sort of Labour victory. It's a Labour, so what is it? What do they call it? A mega landslide or something, supermajority or something. And I've noticed, you know, in Europe, they've been having, you know, problems because of the rise of populism, which is go to the extreme. And now with football managers as well, you know, now that we're having a new football manager, I understand this idea that somehow if we just change everything it will bring us success, and there doesn't seem to be any sort of recognition of
that is very
so true. Again, perhaps that's a warning for a lot of us, is that the temptation is always to chuck everything out, and sometimes you do have to do that, sometimes you do have to sort of jettison a lot and then put stuff back, and that's not a bad thing necessarily, but it could be dangerous. I think if you throw everything out, it's good to have some sense of perspective and some recognition of what has been good
in
whatever you've been through.
I think when you do a bit of spring cleaning, you know, the point is, and I'm likening this to the faith journey, you know, you do take everything out and then you look at it all carefully, clean it a bit, and only keep the stuff you really know you're going to use. So I suppose that's another metaphor, isn't it, for what you're doing in deconstruction.
You know, that's the process. Decluttering thing.
But it's very much decluttering and the doctrines that you thought were absolutely, you know, could not be questioned, everything you realise, they can be questioned, and people have always questioned them, actually.
So it's a bit like that programme. Have you seen that programme with Stacey Solomon?
Oh, Sort Your Life Out, classic.
I had no idea this podcast was going to go in this direction, but it's like Stacey Solomon's Sort Your Life Out, isn't it? You get everything out. So what happens in this is she goes into houses, her and her team, go into houses which are full of clutter.
Serious hoarders, yeah.
Serious hoarders, exactly. And she goes into them and they take everything out and they put it in a warehouse and they lay it all out.
It's fascinating.
While all that's being done and they're sorting through all their possessions, you know, there's people are redoing the house and they move back in and it's all orderly.
And they've got to throw 50% away normally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's, again, mid-faith crisis is basically Stacey Solomon's Sort Your Life Out for spirituality.
There we go. Do you think we could get her to endorse it?
I'm sure for the right money. Anyway, so that's a bit rambling. I suppose finally, just before we sort of go off and do something more useful with our lives, it'd be nice to check in on your theme and how that's going, really.
Well, I'm going to relate my update to what we've been talking about, really. I think it's stalled a bit.
So remind us of your theme.
So my theme is nature churching. It's very much about connecting with the divine in nature. But I kind of want to gather community around that. And I had a really interesting conversation with our dear friend Dave Steele. And I think what I'm realizing, you know, you talk about not chucking the baby out with the bathwater, or, you know, what is it you do want to keep? I think something I'm realizing is you can't gather people around a nice nature walk, or even, I don't think, a sort of mindful meditation or prayer, if you want to call it that, in nature. I think you're still universally going to build yourself around it. We want to build our lives around the love of the divine.
Mm.
And so I think what I'm starting to realise is the bond isn't nature itself or being in nature. The bond is still God, and I think, therefore, the desire to follow Jesus. the teachings of Jesus.
Mm.
So I'm just kind of, you know, in the early stages of just thinking about what does that then mean, and what do you bring into that? The short answer is I don't know whether it's going very well. It feels like it's stalled a bit, but at least I've identified it's stalled a bit, and I'm trying to do something about that. I was having an interesting conversation just before the podcast with a TV producer, because I'd like, you know, I've got an idea for a TV program. Who knows? Very unlikely that it will ever be made, I'm sure. But the idea is just about what does a faith for the 21st century really look like? And we've got this bank of science telling us a load of really interesting things. For example, how good it is for us to sing together.
Mm.
How the enormous health and mental health benefits of contemplation. The strengths and longevity that comes from being in a caring community. Mm. So there's so much that the church and faith has got right and is and can be scientifically verified as being really good for you. And so now I'm saying, but hang on, there's also a whole belief structure that developed 2,000 years ago that really doesn't seem to fit with modern life. So what would a faith look like that understands all this stuff and integrates in? And what do you have left? And what would a modern faith look like? So I think that would be an interesting program. I'm not sure it would come up with any answers, but I think it'd be a fascinating study and a really interesting TV program. The reason I'm mentioning it is because it's not disrelated from the theme of Nature Church. It's like, well, what is the actual unifying thing? What actually brings us out into nature to get together in the first place? So that's where we're at.
I think that's a really good insight. Mm. Because I think, yes, what you're saying, or if I understand it right, is you've got the sort of setting for your worship, but it's a question of, well, what are you really doing in that setting? What's the goal of it? If the goal of discipleship is to follow Jesus Christ, where you do that is secondary to that, except insofar as it supports that.
What is the mission, to use that? You know, another word that comes with a lot of baggage, but what is the actual mission of that kind of nature church? What's its mission? What's it there for?
It's a bit like sort of nature is your denomination.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
Rather than your faith. Your That's faith right. is Christian. Exactly. But exactly. your denomination exactly. is NEP, apparently.
Exactly.
I think it's really interesting.
So that's Nature Church. How about you? What's going on with your theme? Remind us of your theme. And
my theme is a year of focus.
Ah.
And it's going well, I think. It's good. It's staying, it gives you focus to start with, you know. And I think it is part of this thing about being broader than just work. I think I came into it largely because I was sort of frustrated with my inability to focus professionally, you know, and the difficulties I was having with that.
Sure.
But actually, it's about much more than that. It's also about what do you actually focus on in your life?
Mm.
What activities bring you joy and nourishment and energy? What recharges you?
Mm.
Rather than what continues to drain you, and how do you shift the focus from sort of the easy sort of fast food kind of options, as it were, to something a bit more nutritious for you and a bit more enjoyable? So that's partly the news thing as well, you know, this kind of idea about saying, if you say, well, this is my year of focus, you have to say, well, I'm going to focus on this, but that means I'm not going to focus on that. You know, there's a choice. There are always choices.
Yeah.
I think it's been really good in so many ways so far. I think now the thing is to try and put back, or put in rather, some new places of focus, some new practices, or perhaps rediscover old practices. That's more likely, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking a lot about Sabbath and that kind of stuff. And I think I want to build those kinds of things now back in, because I don't think, I think I've done sort of the decluttering bit of my time and my work, and I'm now sort of much more focused in some areas, but I now need to build in stuff in other areas.
Well, Tom.
There is a thing that's going on with me where I'm still questioning a few things, you know, you know, there's no doubt the Anglican Church. I love the Anglican Church, but it's does some really dumb things. I mean, you just do some stuff that is just for the sake of doing it, and I can't understand it. Mm. You know, and what's the point? So partly, I'm sort of thinking through those kinds of stuff and where that's going to lead me. But yeah, I think it's really helping. I think it's really being being productive, actually. Yeah. Well, look, we've rambled on long enough, haven't we?
Yes, we have. But before we go, I do want to give a big shout of thanks to Dave Tomlinson for his interview and the wonderful Claire Bradford as well for her interview. Thank you guys so much for that. Also, can I give a shout out to Peter? Pete was supposed to be coming down to see me from Crawley or Horsham, and we were going to get together for a meal, but I got COVID. That was before I went away. And he was supposed to be coming down on Monday, and he's just wrong me to say he's got COVID. So there you go. COVID is still wreaking havoc with our social arrangements.
There's a bit of it about, isn't there? So take care out there, people.
Much love to anyone with COVID.
And I'd like to say thank you to everyone who supports the podcast.
Yes.
It's been wonderful to sort of be aware of that support, even while we've taken a bit of a break, to be honest. But to still see, you know, people listening, people engaging, people giving. Mm. I think that's so encouraging. Thank you so much. It did... You know, talking about the podcast to Andy for this PhD stuff did really kind of make me aware of how grateful I am to be part of it. It's really nice community, a wonderful community to be part of. So thank you to everyone who recommends it, who listens to it, who writes in. And if you do want to write in about anything, here's where you write to.
Oh, yeah, it's joe@midfaithcrisis.org. And we'd love to hear from you. Tell us how your themes are going. Tell us what you make of the stuff we've been chatting through, how you're reacting to world events. You know, just it's lovely to hear from you. It always is. I do try and reply to everyone. We don't read everyone out because it's not always appropriate and we don't have time, blah, blah, blah. But we'd love to hear from you. And, so thank you very much. That really would be wonderful.
Yep, thank you very much. We will be back with you next week. The podcast, it's coming home, everyone.
It's sort of.